With that as a background, maybe we can see how it relates to some of these patients that you brought in here today. Why don't we start out with a 61-year-old lady?
Yeah, so this patient is a 61-year-old lady who I've been following for a little bit of time now. She was originally diagnosed with iron deficiency anemia a number of years back in 2014. She had a mild anemia with a hemoglobin down towards 11. Her local doc did iron studies as well as a ferritin, gave her a couple doses of iron, and then her hemoglobin came back up and she was kind of lost to follow-up for a few years. But later on, she re-presented with anemia towards the end of 2016. And so she was ultimately referred back to the hematologist thinking it was the iron deficiency again, and we kind of go down that route with the IV iron. But it turns out, well, she wasn't microcytic this time. And that kind of tipped the local doc off to thinking about, well, what else could be doing this? So she ultimately underwent a bone marrow biopsy that showed the kind of abnormal-looking megakaryocytes, or platelet-producing cells, as well as the grade 2 fibrosis. And that, along with her splenomegaly and leukoerythroblastosis, ultimately she was diagnosed with myelofibrosis, primary myelofibrosis.
And what were some of the key issues in assessing her and coming up with a treatment plan?
When I first saw her and she was first referred me for a second opinion, she was asymptomatic. She felt fine. Her hemoglobin was 12. She says, I don't even know why I drove all the way up here from Kentucky to see you. But, you know, we did cover a lot about the disease and what may happen in the future. And her white count was a little high at the time, so her local doc put her on some hydroxyurea to bring her white count down from 45 down to 12. And again, it didn't make her any more anemic, so we kind of left things where they were. So since she was absolutely asymptomatic and had relatively low-risk disease by the Dynamic International Prognostic Scoring System, we said, okay, let's just continue with observation here. But however, over the course of the last 8 or 9 months, she's developed symptoms slowly over time, namely spleen symptoms. The main thing she told me at our last visit, her spleen was pressing on her chest wall, and it made it difficult for her to sleep. She had some early symptoms of early satiety as well, just a little bit of that kind of filling up when she eats, occasional night sweats. So these things were starting to build. And also, she did have an ultrasound of her spleen done prior to me seeing her, and her spleen was a little over 20 centimeters on the ultrasound. And on my exam, it was pretty large. Her spleen exam, it was 11 centimeters when I saw her in clinic. So now that the symptoms are starting to build, and certainly her spleen is over 10 centimeters on the exam, I felt it was time to jump in with some ruxolitinib to try to make her feel a little better.